You're listening to episode 6 of the It's Not Real Magic podcast. This episode was recorded on November 11th, 2019, and published on December 9th, 2019. Welcome to the It's Not Real Magic podcast. The question of the day is, what is something that you're thankful for that you haven't usually been thankful for in the past? I'm Kevin, and right now I'm thankful for mobility, that despite my obese, thunderous, massive frame, my legs still function perfectly well, because in the past 2 months, I've witnessed 3 individuals who have had limited mobility and the weights affected their life, and I'm incredibly thankful that I can still go from place to place without difficulty.
I'm Alexander, and I'm thankful for a full, solid night's sleep, even though maybe I haven't really had one lately. I wasn't properly thankful for those in the past, and if I could get one, I would be thankful for it now.
My name is Jacob, and I am thankful for the joy and laughter that my children bring to my day.
So wholesome. My name is Lucas, and I am thankful for naps. As a kid, I never wanted to take a nap or saw the point in taking a nap. Now I'm older, they are a wonderful thing.
Interesting. So when you say nap, give me a definition of what you think is a nap.
Sleeping at a time other than when you go to bed at night.
For how long?
It's open anytime, any amount of time.
So you consider 5 minutes a nap?
Yes.
Do you consider 4 hours a nap?
Yes. Yeah. Now, 4 hours is a mistake of a nap. Uh-huh. That's too much. Uh-huh. That makes me full of regret.
But it is technically a nap.
It is a nap.
So how long then is a adequate or good or helpful nap? And at what point is it like, oh, that was a mistake?
I'd say like 30 minutes is good.
Okay, is that 30 minutes of lay down time or 30 minutes of actual sleep?
Probably lay down time. I can usually fall asleep pretty quick. If I'm tired enough to take a nap, I'll fall asleep pretty quickly.
When I'm napping in my car, I find 30 minutes is usually a little bit too short. 40, 45 is about right.
I would say you need to nap for at least 20 minutes. That's a good cat nap. But if you go for more than an hour, then you're going to feel drugged when you wake up.
It's true.
So like my last nap lasted like maybe a couple of nanoseconds, but boy, I woke up and got right back on the road. So I was good after that.
Yeah. By that, do you mean you pulled off to the side of the road and took a nap?
I pulled off to the side of the road, but the vehicle didn't stop.
Oh, I see.
So I would have to take when I had a job where I was driving vehicles as part of my job, and I did not have enough sleep the night before, I would have to stop at like a McDonald's or something like that and take a 10, 15, 20 minute nap and then continue on my way. Otherwise, I was just way too tired.
Mm-hmm. No, for me, I find more and more that naps actually like make me groggy, and I've yet to find like a good nap amount that I don't just wake up like in a bad mood and groggy because I wanted a much, much longer nap.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure what your perfect window would be. I think it's different for everyone. Or maybe you just are not a candidate for naps. It's possible.
I find it interesting that two of us had naps as what they're thankful, or sleep as what they're thankful for.
Sleep is something to be thankful for.
Very much so.
Just ask someone with insomnia. They will tell you sleep is not something to be taken for granted.
So moving on to our first topic. Before I move on to the first topic even, I do want to put in a brief aside. So it's been a couple months since we put out a proper It's Not Real Magic episode, and part of that is due to scheduling difficulties. The other part of that is at one point we were all together in the same room and we recorded a bonus episode that doesn't follow the regular podcast format because we were all playing a game. It's also a lot more, shall we say, mature than most of our content, or perhaps immature would be the correct way of putting it. So that's not going to become part of the normal It's Not Real Magic canon, but that will be up on the website as a bonus podcast at some point in the future. It will get done when it gets done.
Well, I believe it was also 4 hours of audio, I think. Over 4 hours?
Lots of audio. It's like 16 hours of audio across all the tracks combined. It's kind of a pain to edit. But no.
Is this something that you're going to release in like one big like three and a half hour file, or is it going to be like broken up into like hour long segments?
Probably the first, because I don't need to worry about any listeners, because I don't think anybody's going to listen to it, so I don't really care what sort of format it ends up in.
I was just thinking if somebody doesn't have 3 hours to listen to it, but wants to listen to it, it might be hard to go back and find their place. Whereas if they're used to listening to a 45-hour-long podcast.
Hey, here's what you do. You download it. You open up locally in Spotify, and then Spotify will remember the position if you save it as a podcast, I think.
That's all I needed.
If not, I'm sure you can come up with some solution. Or put in a specific request and $5, and then it will happen.
Wait, all that for $5? Man, I will go return some bottles.
Wait, do they have a bottle return in Wyoming?
In Wyoming, what do you get for a bottle return?
So I have to return enough bottles to go to the recycling place and get however many pounds I need to be worth any particular amount of money.
So how many pounds?
How much is a pound of bottles?
A pound of bottles is a pound of bottles. Like, pounds don't change.
But what's the volume of a pound of plastic bottles?
I don't know.
How many bottles does it take to equal a pound?
I just throw them away because I probably need like a couple tons of plastic bottles or something to be $5.
Yeah,
it's a recycling center. They're really not in it to pay for you. Unless it's copper, they'll pay you for copper.
So do you swipe copper from job sites?
No, I make sure the copper doesn't get swiped from job sites because we've had job sites broken into recently.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
However, they're mostly looking for tools. They really don't. They're not in the, let's scrap this copper for 14 cents on the dollar. It's more like, hey, let's swipe these nice fancy tools y'all's guys have and then go sell them on Facebook in Denver. More of that kind of stuff.
That's probably a little difficult to track. So moving on to an actual podcast topic, and by that I mean half a podcast topic. Alex, would you please explain why there's a Little Debbie on my desk?
Well, there is a Little Debbie on your desk because, as our faithful listeners may remember, we did have the Little Debbie showdown a few episodes back. Last episode? No, two episodes. Anyway, in the past, we have talked about Little Debbies. And in that episode, we talked about the fudge round double decker Little Debbie. And I thought it was more of a thing of like legend. But no, you walk into a gas station, if you can find where they have the Little Debbies, because for some reason they like to hide them in the most weird places next to like, I don't know, sound equipment, because they all have earbuds now. They're earbuds, and then there's Little Debbies. It's like, oh, I would have put this over, I don't know, in the candy section or the junk food section, which is basically an entire convenience store. But once you find them, you can buy as many of them as you want, which one probably shouldn't be legal because this is a large amount of sugar and unhealthiness in a small package. And so because we talked about it and because all we ever really need for ideas is just somebody to talk about it and it becomes an idea for something for us to do, we are going this episode, for the benefit of our viewers, not for ourselves, because we are like that. Each one of us now has a double-decker Little Debbie in front of him, and we will now open them and commence eating them throughout the episode and share our experiences as we experience them throughout this episode. And maybe in the end we'll come to a conclusion as to why this was such a good or terrible idea. So, if you will all oblige...
We're doing this for science.
We are doing this for our listeners. Here we go.
Now, holy crap.
I know, right? While you guys are eating your Little Debbies, I'm just going to throw this out there. Little Debbie does its own distribution. It might be part of a parent company, but it's not going to be the same company that's like distributing Snickers to your convenience store. That's why you're going to usually find Little Debbie in its own sort of display stand, because that would be shipped by Little Debbie as the supplier to the convenience store directly.
The more
That's also why I've got to find them by the earbuds and not in the candy aisle.
All right. So,
upon first bite, it's very fudgy. It's very wedgy. One bite in, I think I might start to develop a headache.
It's like a chocolate Big Mac.
Mm-hmm. Now, is anybody else's fudgy wedgy? And we call them fudgy wedgies because I believe Dominic Cianciola dubbed them fudgy wedgies years and years and years ago, even though they're technically fudge rounds. So fudgy wedgie, fudge round, same thing.
Little fudgy wedgies, Skittles, and Spree. These are the things that make me pee.
There you go.
That is a very strange poem.
That was his poem.
It was his poem.
That sounds like something Cianciola would come up with. No offense intended.
So I guess next episode will have Skittles and Spree. And then the next episode will... I don't know. I don't know how we'll play that one out.
Maybe we're going to have to veto that one.
Is anybody else's fudgy wudgy currently frozen?
No.
I was not told to freeze it.
No. I didn't either. However, mine ended up being frozen because it was left in the vehicle in which it was purchased. And that vehicle has for the past several months sat in the driveway where it is cold. And it got very cold last night and cold all day today. And yeah, things in glove boxes will freeze.
Yep. Hmm. It is indeed November 11th. And the sell-by date on my Little Debbie is November 15th. So we recorded this at just the right time, guys.
Let's go. Oh, also, mine's November 22. It's probably a little softer than yours.
Also, as far as I'm concerned, winter has officially hit here in Michigan.
It's true.
What makes it official?
The fact that I realized winter sucks.
Oh, because you're...
Oh, it's just... You just realized that sucks now?
Help you?
Hmm. Well, so I went to go to work today, and I went to my usual intersection at Division and some other street that I live on, and I realized I was not going to be able to get through the intersection because even when the light turns green, the traffic's still going to be backed up to the intersection. So I legally can't pull through. Otherwise, I'm going to be blocking the intersection. So I'm going to have to go left and take a detour. And then I got stuck behind a school bus.
And then did you wave to the children's?
No, because I was behind the school bus. I could not see any children's to wave to. And then I crawled my way past the school bus doing like 25 miles an hour in a 45 zone. I was like, I should have been at work 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, winter sucks. I agree with that. It's something else that sucks is the Detroit Lions.
Oh, boom! Boy. That's a segue and a half.
There you go. So my podcast topic for this evening, or whenever you may be listening to this podcast, is just that. The Detroit Lions. A little bit of background history as far as the Robinson family goes. All four of us grew up in Michigan watching the Lions on Sunday afternoon. Me and Alex probably remember Barry Sanders playing on Sundays. Kevin Lucas probably remember Calvin Johnson.
Thank you for telling me what I remember.
You're welcome. Just, you know, trying to figure out the timeline of some of the stuff. But I believe we all grew up as Lions fans. And so my question to you guys is, are you still a Lions fan to this day?
I mean, I would consider myself a Lions fan. It's a little difficult to get Lions where I am because I don't have a television. And the ability to view NFL games online is infuriating, to say the least, if you care at all about legality.
Try watching hockey games online.
You can at least listen to hockey broadcasts online, though. That's fine. Like, that's at least something.
I suppose.
Before we get any more answers, we need to take a quick break and ask, how is everyone doing on their double-decker fudge rounds? Because I have made my 75% through this thing, and I don't want to take another bite.
Yeah, I'm probably a little over halfway. I'm in the same boat. Every time I take a bite, my wife looks over at me with a expression that I can't tell if it's jealousy or pity or some other kind of emotion.
So I feel like I have an advantage because it's frozen. Therefore, it's not nearly as fudgy, probably as all your guys's are. And therefore, the texture is probably a little more palatable and doesn't feel just like plastic sugar.
This definitely tastes like plastic sugar.
Yeah. And I feel like if I actually want to get through this whole thing, I just have to keep eating it. I'm afraid like if I stop and put some aside and then work on a little bit later, I will never make it through the whole thing. And also the sugar rush I'm going to get from this and the amount of sweating I will do later while I'm trying to fall asleep because of this amount of sugar in my system, I feel like I need to hurry up and finish it and then just see how my body processes it over the next bit of the podcast.
24 hours.
So you at least have 2 more hours to process it before you have to sleep.
Oh,
I'm feeling pressure in the temples of my head.
The middle is particularly challenging. Causes some mental distress.
I should have grabbed something to drink.
I did mute my microphone and got up and grabbed some water because I was not going to survive without.
Mm. Yeah.
So, Alex, yeah. Are you still a Detroit Lions fan?
No, I really don't consider myself a Lions fan because I don't really consider myself a football fan anymore. Like, the whole NFL,
heretic.
I don't really care about. I may watch, like, the Super Bowl. I don't even think I really watch the championship games anymore. I basically just watch the Super Bowl, and that's because everybody's watching the Super Bowl. So it's like, well, I'll hang out with friends or family or something and watch the Super Bowl. But not because it's like, oh, I want to see who wins the game. This is so exciting. So as far as being a fan anymore, no, I think I had enough trauma growing up being a Lions fan that I don't really need
trauma. That's interesting. More. So give me some memories that you have that maybe would inflict trauma upon you.
Trauma of watching Barry Sanders have an amazing career and then walk away with no warning, leaving us in the lurch for the past two decades. I have a hard time trusting anybody anymore because of that event, because he meant so much to me. It was a joy and a pleasure to watch him play every week and to see him do the things that only he could do. And still, he's the only one that could do them. And it was fantastic, and it was exciting. It was exciting every single play. You didn't know what was going to happen because he was on the field. And then that all went away. It was like a death. It really, really was hard. And so, yeah, that's been very, very traumatic for me. And then you kind of get over that, and then you just realize, oh, wait, the Lions are just going to be terrible your entire life. This storyline is never, ever going to change. And therefore, you just give up. You just give up.
So did you have any good memories of watching them play, or is it all just bad memories?
I'm trying to think of some good memories because they don't really stand out because, well, they never won a Super Bowl. They never won a championship game. I don't think they ever even made it to a championship game. I think the best they did is they won a wild card round once, maybe twice.
Huzzah.
So here's your factoid for the day, one of several that I may have collected. The Lions have not won a postseason game in my lifetime.
Really?
Their last postseason win, let me double check this, but I believe it was...
like 2 weeks before you were born?
Yeah, just about. Last one was January 5th, 1992. I was born just a few days later, and I'm not saying correlation implies causation, but it does sort of raise its eyebrows suggestively and sort of point its head in that direction.
Hmm. So I remember watching Barry Sanders. I remember thinking Scott Mitchell was a
bum.
Don't
bring his name up in this podcast!
I remember Calvin Johnson.
You have to call him Mitchell, Scott.
Mitchell, Scott.
Next thing you're going to do is you're going to say Wayne Font, and I'm just going to lose it.
Okay, how about Corey Schlesinger?
Corey Schlesinger was the other, was a highlight.
Schlesinger was cool.
All Thumbs was a highlight. And now that I think about it, Chris Spielman is like my favorite football player ever because he was the best player on terrible teams for years and years and years, no matter what he did.
Corey Schlesinger was a national
treasure.
Even
though he went to Ohio State, he's still probably one of my favorite Lions of all time.
So a little background. Corey Schlesinger was a fullback for the Detroit Lions. I think it was during the Barry Sanders era or a little bit after.
Into today's kids, what a fullback is?
A fullback is like a fat running back.
That's where the pull comes from.
They're a little bit slower. They like to, they block people. Yes, he could have been a fullback. And so,
would you explain to the kids who Jerome Bettis is?
No, I'm not doing that. Google it. And so Corey Schlesinger was basically just a battering ram out there. However, he would get maybe one or two carries a game. And then every once in a while, they try to throw a pass to him after he came out of the backfield. And the poor guy could not catch a ball to save his life. And so he earned the nickname All Thumbs, because if you try to catch something, if all your fingers were actually thumbs, it'd be very difficult.
Well, you know, like those big bodybuilder guys, they can't like bring their arms all the way together to grab a cheeseburger. That was kind of Corey Schlesinger's problem. He was a big fullback. And once you got those pads on and stuff, I'm not sure he could get his hands together to catch a football. And that was his problem.
It's the old T-Rex phenomenon.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember the Barry Sanders end of the era. Like 97, 98 seasons. His last season, he didn't actually perform that well. His golden years, I think, were behind him at that point. It's probably for the best that he started leaving. But no, for me, it was more the man, the myth, the legend.
Ooh. All right, so who's the man, the myth, the legend?
Barry Sanders. I think I dropped connection there for a second.
Oh.
You did.
All right, so do either Lucas or Kevin remember Herman Moore?
Ooh. The name, yes. The player... No.
Okay. Jacob remembers who Herman Moore is, right? Because you remember Herman Moore play, which I believe he was the first, and now it's basically the way that all NFL receivers catch, is you just jump higher than the cornerbacks because your 3 inches to 10 inches taller than they are. And so you just throw the ball up high and you jump up and catch it and they can't do anything. It's like playing backyard football with your little brother who, so long as you throw it high enough, if you can get your dad to throw it high enough, you can just catch it over their head and there's nothing they can do. That was the Herman Moore.
Hey,
Herman,
what little brother are you talking about?
Herman Moore was 6'4", I believe, which nowadays is like, oh, that's just a normal NFL receiver. But he was like the tallest wide receiver when he was playing. He looked weird out there compared to the rest of them because everybody else was built like Jerry Rice. And now it's like, wait, who's this tall dude? And they could just throw the ball up to him, and they didn't do it often enough, quite frankly. So he was Calvin Johnson before there was Calvin Johnson, except Calvin Johnson actually had speed and athleticism, and Herman Moore was just tall.
So, yeah. The Detroit Lions are kind of an iconic... Even Thanksgiving is, you know, iconic with Detroit Lions. I mean, it's good and bad, but, you know, it's definitely part of our childhood growing up and kind of what brings us together. However, so my last little question for this topic, I originally was going to ask, do you think the Detroit Lions will ever win a Super Bowl? But that's kind of open-ended. So I'm going to say, will the Detroit Lions ever win a Super Bowl in our father's lifetime?
Huh, no. No.
Look, I just finished a fudge round, and if I can do that, then surely the Lions can find a way to win a Super Bowl.
There you go.
I'm gonna go with doubtful. Doubtful at best.
I would say they have a slim chance of making it to the Super Bowl in our father's lifetime.
So I think I'm gonna go with yes. I think it's gonna happen. And the reason I say this is because my in-laws are Cubs fans, and they waited forever for a World Series, and eventually it did happen. Just the law of averages. You know, it's eventually going to happen. So I say yes. I think in the next 20 years they will win a Super Bowl.
Okay. Oh, you think our dad's only got 20 years left?
Well, what is it? He was born, 50?
No, 55? This is where you just say law of averages and move on.
Law of averages... I think
the next topic. And by next topic, I mean, I'm just going to continue this Detroit Lions topic because, like, you guys didn't even scratch the surface of my notes. Does anybody remember Matt Millen?
Yes.
Okay, why would you bring such horrible things into something as sacred as our podcast?
I think this whole topic is just PTSD for Alex.
I remember very little before the September 11th terrorist attacks. That was also around the same time Matt Millen got hired. I remember Matt Millen. I remember Fire Millen.
I had a good childhood. I had a great childhood. But so help me.
You were not a child.
What I bring
out of
that childhood is Lions football that was just awful.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Because not only did you have Fire Millen around 2006, this came to head in 2008 when the Lions managed to achieve the accomplishment of being the first team in the league to go 0-16.
Wait, that was also the recession.
That may have also been around the recession. Millen was fired week 4 of that year during the bye. It didn't help. This was also the same year they won their first 4 preseason games, proving once and for all that preseason record means absolutely nothing. They did not send a single player to the Pro Bowl that year, and their quarterback lineup featured the stellar roster, including Dante Culpepper, John Kitna, and the legend we all know and love,
Dan Orlovsky.
Dan, walk out of the back of your own end zone, Orlovsky.
Dude, that guy stinks. He's an okay analyst now, but he stunk as a quarterback.
Between the sugar rush of a fudgy wudgy and the painful memories of Lions football, I am already having a rough time as far as my heart goes right now. Just so you're all aware, if I drop, it's because I dropped.
We're going to be starting a GoFundMe for a pacemaker for Alex upon the airing of this episode. Link will be in the show.
I need a transplant.
You know what the best thing about that season was? It gave the Lions the first round draft pick, which meant they got to pick up your boy Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, boy.
Who will never win a Super Bowl?
He will never win a Super Bowl, but that's because the Lions will never win a Super Bowl. That is not Matthew Stafford's fault.
No, it's not his fault. I remember seeing someone, this was, I think, on a telecast at Ford Field, wearing a Lions jersey, and the number on the jersey was 16, and the name on the back of it was Owen.
Very nice. Very nice. I could go for one of those, except it wouldn't fit me. But if it did, I would totally wear it. Now, there's one more memory that I also have quite vividly. I think
was
this...
it every Thanksgiving weekend being ruined at the very start?
No, see, that's why we ate
yes,
so much.
Because there's all my family gathered in one place. What does this have to do with the Lions?
They ruined almost every Thanksgiving. Because now you're just bloated with food and you're mad.
No.
But how's that different than every other day of the year?
Because some days I eat less.
That's a fair point.
You gotta, simmer down here. So here's the trick to enjoying a Thanksgiving game with the Lions is you have a fantasy football team. And on that fantasy football team, you have Peyton Manning. And then you watch the Thanksgiving Day game where he goes off for 6 touchdowns on the Detroit Lions. And your day is made because you just creamed your opponent in fantasy football.
I have suppressed so much of this. And now you are bringing it all back to mind. And this is not helpful for my psyche, who currently being a Red Wings fan, don't need more fan problems when it comes to teams I love. So this is not good for me.
So who's your new hockey team? Is it the Flames?
No. My new hockey team, a girlfriend team, as you may call it. I don't know that I have one. I like watching Vancouver play just because they got a lot of young talent that's fun to watch. I really like watching Edmonton play, and by that I mean I like watching two of their players play because they're exciting to watch. In
McDavid and
Leon Draisaitl. So that's, I watch almost, it's not even necessarily teams, I'm almost watching for players, which I feel like is almost an NBA thing to do. But those are like the storylines that I'll follow. And so it's more of a individual thing, which really isn't the heart of hockey. So I feel kind of bad about that. But like, I don't get necessarily excited seeing Edmonton win. I get excited seeing Colin McDavid score a hat trick with just some goals that nobody else has even figured out how to score that kind of a goal. So yeah, that's my when the Red Wings aren't watchable, which is 85% of the time right now. What I do.
They won two whole hockey games.
Two whole hockey games. Woo! Yeah.
That's like 120 minutes of hockey.
So I'm gonna attempt to bring this back around to the Lions somehow. It's gonna be a really bad segue, and I apologize in advance for this. But I did find out that Charles Rogers, former draft pick of the Detroit Lions, he's passed away at the age of 38.
It's young.
I saw that as
well. Sad. It's very sad. You know what's also sad? Calvin that Johnson's touchdown catch against the Chicago Bears in September of 2010. But I will not delve into that for the sake of my blood pressure. I want to end this section on a high note. So I'm going to say this. The Lions have had one good thing going for them in the past couple decades.
Joey Harrington.
I'm sorry. Dude, Mr. Piano Man.
No, place kicking. Because right now they have Matt Prater, who's pretty good. You know who they had before Matt Prater?
Jason
the Man Hansen. Who and I do believe we met once. Didn't we meet him at a Need to Breathe concert?
Because he goes to Need to Breathe concerts. That's why he's awesome.
Yep, we met him at a
Need to Breathe
concert.
In addition to having a really strong right leg.
He's a really good place kicker. It's great.
And a very high hairline from a young age.
You know, I can respect that.
Say there are those in this podcast who can relate.
There are those in this podcast that cannot throw stones. This is true. Genetics, man. It's just the way it is.
I gotta see if I can find that picture.
I think our dad still has it on one of his desktops. Just ask him.
I know it was on my Facebook at one point.
Yeah, the terrible thing is that for the longest time we weren't sure who he was when you were standing there in line.
You don't think you see a celebrity in the wild, right?
I thought he was a guy from Survivor. Like, there was a guy on Survivor at one point that looked a lot like Jason Hansen. That's who I thought it was. Yeah.
Yeah, the Lions have played with our hearts.
Lucas, if you continue making that typing noise and having come through your microphone, I'm going to start explaining to the viewers what it is you are typing in our Google document.
I apologize. I will no longer type.
You could just mute yourself and just drop from the podcast and continue to entertain us with all these stupid little things.
He can't mute himself. He has our final topic.
It's true.
You have to do the final topic.
Yes. Well, hang on. So long as we're breaking between topics, how is your Little Debbie experience currently going? Because I'm about to like undo another notch of my belt because I'm starting to feel poorly.
So let me explain to you that I work about 40 feet from reclamation at a convenience goods distributor.
The crap.
This is like a warm-up of my daily sugar intake. When you can buy a bag of donuts for 50 cents, it tends to do things to your diet. Or you can pick up like 10 king-size Kit Kats for $5. I should have stopped when I was in town, man.
Like, you should have been my dealer.
Well, Kevin is my dealer. Every week on Tuesday, he brings me contraband.
I tried a frosty root beer for the first time today. Pretty good. It was also 25 cents for 20 ounces.
Did anybody look at their wrapper on the Fudgy Wudgy to note the nutrition facts? If you can call it nutrition.
Sir, ignorance is such ingredients. Sweet bliss.
I was shocked syrup. To see that this whole thing was considered a serving size. Like, that to me is like...
That might be like USDA regulations.
I just looked at it just now.
Yeah. Yeah, so what stood out to you when you looked at it?
490 calories.
490!
You could have four of these in one day and you're done. Like, you're done.
You're not going to get to that fourth one. You're going to be like halfway through the second and wish that you weren't doing this. And then if you can get to the third, it will end you. You will never, ever miss.
What also stood out to me, it's got 48 grams of sugar, which is 96% of your daily meal.
I love how it says vitamin D 0%, calcium 0%. Two things popped out to me.
One, I see a phone number that says if you have questions or comments, you can call 1-800-522.
No, don't say it on the air. Don't say it on the air.
I feel like we need to call this number next episode. The other thing I noticed was...
it's
going
to be some automated line.
Just keep pressing options until you get through to a person. The other thing I noticed is the allergen information contains wheat, milk, egg, soy, may contain peanuts, tree nuts. We're not sure what exactly is going on at the Little Debbie factory. These could have gotten in there.
It's happened before.
No way to know.
It was probably on a Monday.
So I have in my hand a king-size Kit Kat label wrapper for comparison's sake.
Okay.
So this king-size Kit Kat is 420 calories.
What?
And contains 420 calories for 8 Kit Kat fingers.
Ooh, whoa.
It is 43 grams of total sugar. Fingers. Putting it at just a little bit. It's like this Kit Kat is almost just the same thing as the fudge round, but slightly less, with a few key differences. One, the Kit Kat wrapper is more specific on exactly its allergy information, because it says it is manufactured in a facility that also processes peanuts, rather than just saying may contain peanuts, which I'm guessing is the same thing as what this fudge round is trying to say, just it's a little bit more clear on it.
Yes.
Second, first ingredient is sugar instead of corn syrup, and the third ingredient is milk instead of sugar. The first three ingredients on this fudge round are some form of sugar.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing.
What is titanium dioxide?
Great question. I'm guessing a preservative of some kind.
Is there titanium in this? It's like, I am titanium. Like,
I mean, most of the stuff we eat has iron in it, so what's the point?
Well, I just didn't know I could make like a driver, you know, out of my fudge round.
You get enough fudge rounds together, you could probably compress them into a driver of some kind.
I was gonna say, you already froze it, so it's already solid enough.
You know what the problem is, guys? My sell-by date is November 8th, and so I have one that is 3 days expired.
It's defective.
I think it was defective when it rolled off the line, but yes, I understand your point.
Okay, so I've got a kind of an aside, but also it's the same thing. So, Kevin, you work at a some sort of distributor, I can't even think right now because I'm hopped up on sugar.
Convenience goods, my man. It is a convenience goods distributor.
So when a convenience store sells product, I'm sure that either you get notified that they're short on stock or that owner has to notify you that they're low on stock and you send more goods to them, correct?
Yes. I believe it's more so the second than the first. We're not that high tech.
So imagine what would happen when the owner of some store realized that someone bought four double size fudge rounds.
But here's the thing.
In one day.
You think that's Little Debbie. They do their own distribution. We do not ship Little Debbie.
Well, imagine what would happen when the Little Debbie supplier or the Little Debbie distributor goes, whoa, who bought literally 2,000 calories worth of fudge rounds in one shot?
You know what they probably think? Oh, it's a normal day in Mississippi. I apologize to our Mississippi listener.
We are so sorry about that.
I'm sure we will at some point.
Okay,
and so then they will stop listening after finding this episode.
So we've got one listener in Mississippi that we have to apologize to every episode. Because somehow we've offended them.
And they're not easily offended in Mississippi.
I do actually feel like my heart rate has increased. I'm not kidding.
Oh, mine definitely has. I know mine has. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to be awake for hours.
Is it bad that I feel just about the same?
Yes. Yes, it is. You have to eat another one until you feel like us.
This is just a normal Monday night for Jacob.
True that.
Yeah. 96% of my sugar intake for a single day in, I don't know, 25 minutes at 9, 10 o'clock at night. No problem.
I'll tell you this. I had pancakes and syrup for dinner.
Oh, boy.
In that order?
Yeah.
Okay.
You take a bite of pancake.
And then you take a swig of syrup.
You take a swig of syrup.
Push it up and slug it down.
You just can I get a
tip your head back and pour some Aunt Jemima in there?
Can I get some pancake batter with a syrup chaser? Lucas, I think you really need to like get us out of here.
Oh, do I need to any further? Do I need to take us home, country road? Okay.
Yes.
So for my topic, I am curious about albums, meaning musical albums, records, CDs.
A record.
Whatever you want to call them.
A record.
Not one you'd actually play. What records have you guys played that have been memorable or perhaps one of your favorites or ties to a specific memory? And if so, why? I think we could dive real deep into these, so I'll try to keep mine kind of brief. One that I think probably applies to all or most of us is The Beautiful Letdown by Switchfoot.
Nah.
An album that got played so much that I believe it stopped working. We had to buy another one.
Well, and then we had it on the Xbox, and so you guys listened to it while playing Forza Motorsports over and over again.
All old Switchfoot is just Forza Motorsport, regardless of album.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's true. We had a playlist called Ultimate Switchfoot. It had all the albums to date on there, you know, for whenever, however many years
I think it was through, like, Oh Gravity or something.
I think that's correct.
It did have Oh Gravity.
And it would just play them on shuffle as you raced your Porsche 911 around.
Man, now I want to play Forza Motorsport.
Man, I wish... Did they make, like, a Forza Motorsport for PC? Because that sounds, like, fun. But I don't think they do.
I mean, there are... I don't think it's Forza Motorsport specifically, but there are simulation racers.
That's true.
For PC. So that one holds a lot of memories because we played it like crazy. The Reckoning by Need to Breathe takes me back to specifically the second half of The Reckoning. Takes me back to fall semester at KVCC. I think I had a gap between some of my classes. So I would sit out in like the courtyard and work on homework and stuff and listen to the album. So like cool, crisp fall weather, I always end up listening to the album because it just evokes that memory.
See, for me, my idea of a fall semester album is Suburba by House of Heroes.
Exactly.
Because I remember listening to that in the, was it the Gold Saturn?
Mm-hmm.
With you, as we would both drive to KVCC, which I believe was your last semester at KVCC and my first.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of a big change in my life, because that was also the same year that we moved to Kalamazoo.
Yes, it was up in 2010.
Yeah. So that was sort of defining to me.
I agree that album has one of the strongest ties to memories for me. As soon as you hear the first song on the track, you're like, boom, it takes you right back to sitting in the car. You know, colors change and driving to KBCC.
Yes. I can already like feel the windows down at that point. It's such a good opening song to like the start of a road trip or some, you know, event. A more recent album that has evocative ties for me, I realized, is the Sabaton, the Last Stand album, because I started listening to them after I moved out. And so to me, that's my starting life on your own album, because it was also like, hey, I can listen to all the heavy metal I want because there aren't parents around. This is great.
Booyah.
So is that like being in your apartment on your own for the first time music, or is that like reminds you of the trip up moving?
No, this is being at the apartment.
Gotcha.
So I can go back a little bit further than you guys. So the album from the Newsboys, Step Up to the Microphone, they had a lot of tracks on there that like anytime I listen to takes me back to that mid to late 90s era in my life. And that was, I believe, was on cassette tape. So that's going pretty far back in my life. It's like Entertaining Angels. Like anytime those violins kick in and just like, you know, begins the song, is like, okay, there's just kind of like that memory flood for me. And that's going back to like listening to those songs on the radio and then being like, whoa, we like this so much, let's get the album. And then listening to the album being like, oh wow, there's a lot of good music from Newsboys on here. That's probably like the last Newsboys album that I actually liked. And so that would be like way back in the time machine for me.
Wait, you're telling me Thrive doesn't make the cut?
Oh man. Whose Love Liberty Disco is his favorite?
Boy, that, I mean, you want to talk about jumping the shark in flat top shoes. Then going maybe forward to more like later adult life, kind of like those college years, even though I didn't go to college, would have been like Portable Sounds by Toby Mac. That was the CD I had like in my pickup truck because it actually had like good speakers that didn't crackle like Saturn's did.
Yeah.
And so I could pound Ignition and Portable Sounds and Boomin' and Feeling Fly. Like I could feel that music because I actually finally had a way to listen to music loud enough with enough bass that it was more than just, you know, a song. There was like a physical component to the music, even though that's not like heavy metal or anything like that. For me, that was like really, really fun.
Me, Portable Sounds is the you're playing ping pong in the garage at 10 at night.
Yes, with the garage door open because it's a summer night. Was the best.
But also blaring out the stereo system in the truck.
And then going forward, really anything from The Outsiders by Need to Breathe through, I don't know, the next three or four albums. Anything in there all has memories tied to it and strong feelings tied to it and good memories tied to it. Maybe some bad memories tied to some different songs that were special for certain reasons and they didn't seem special anymore and whatnot. So yeah, pretty much anything by Need to Breathe from The Outsiders on is meaningful to me. And then there's some old Chris Rice, like Smell the Color 9.
Yes, Smell the Color 9.
I listened to that album over and over and over and over again. Lots of good stuff in there. And then even he had his first like greatest hits album that also had some newer stuff on it. I like that one just because then I didn't need like five or six different Chris Rice albums. I had like all my favorite songs on one album, even though it wasn't technically a standard album. But that was fantastic. Was that short-term memories, I think? Is that anything like more recently? Probably the most recent one is The Search by NF. I've listened to that a lot and continue to listen to that as we're going through a different stage of life right now. So that's like, you know, married life, that's first child being born and different life happenings in that time. I know I'm making memories to where like 5-10 years from now I'll go back and listen to that and be like, oh yeah, I remember the summer of 2019 tying in with those songs.
So for me, couple albums that come to mind. So I think there are many like individual songs or maybe just a couple songs from albums that will stick in your head or have strong memories tied to them. But I try to think of like an entire album. So kind of start to finish listening to something. And for me, that is the Hey Mama album from Matt Carney.
Oh, Young Love.
Mm-hmm. Young Love, yes. Young Love. That one I listened to, I felt like nonstop. I also used it, would listen to it when I was doing chores around the house and like cleaning bathrooms and stuff like that. Like that was the go-to music for housework. And so it's got a lot of good memories tied to it, but it also has a lot of housework memories tied to it. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Don't you miss the days when housework was your biggest concern?
Well, yeah. And then another album is Sam Hunt's album Montevallo. That album, I kind of started listening to a few of the songs right before I met Cheryl, and then listened to the whole album as we were like dating and engaged and young married. And so that whole album just has very strong ties back to meeting my wife for the first time.
I should also throw an honorable mention, Vice Versus by Switchfoot. That album was one that I, again, listened to start to finish over and over and over again through a certain part of my life, and still hold many of those songs in high regard as far as like great songs.
All right, I'm going to throw out one more before I'm going to call myself done on album suggestions, but I think you guys are going to agree on this one. And if not, I want to hear dissenting opinions. It is not Christmas time until the Luna Moon Spirit of the Holidays album is being played.
Yeah. Yep. That's a classic.
I would agree. Like, as a kid, I never liked it because I'm like, it's instrumental. It's so boring. Now, as an adult, it's I really like it being out in the background.
I say, I don't consider the album to be especially amazing. Like, this is 100% nostalgia factor for me.
Mm. I'm sure I would recognize it. I don't know that I could like hum anything off of it. I'm sure if it was played, I would recognize it, but the whole Christmas music thing is a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast. Maybe a December podcast will hit on Christmas music, because that would be kind of appropriate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't get my head into Christmas mode because it's still not Thanksgiving.
No, that's entirely fair. Too. I'm not asking you to. I was going more for
trying to think of any songs or anything from it. And maybe once we're on the other side of Thanksgiving, I will find the Luna Moon and listen to it. And so help me, I'm going to put you on mute.
I'm muting him right
put
now.
Put you on mute.
There we go. I might just
been
have to make
enough tonight. Don't you trigger me again.
I think some parts of this podcast are just going to mysteriously disappear on the cutting room floor.
Wait, that was a trigger for you?
You can't bring Christmas music and that kind of stuff into my head this time of year.
Nope. I'm personally going, December 1st. December 1st, open season. Before then, don't talk to me.
All right, we will probably have to hash this out in full once we're actually into a season where I'm okay even talking about this.
Amen. Is now a bad time to tell you that there's a Christmas tree behind me?